everyone at home, please sing along with us in your homes there where you're at, and just pray that you're able to worship with us where you're at.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing.
Christ arose.
Smile.
We're going to do a song this morning, but before we do that song, I want to read a couple of verses to you that go right along with this song, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Son of God who came, bruised.
Praise the Lord. I hope it's well with your soul today. And we've got a lot of scriptures I'd like to share with you this morning. So I want to invite you to, first of all, look with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 as we begin the message today. And just so thankful for the opportunity to together. I know it's a little different, but to worship together today. Again, please let us know that you're watching. Check in and rejoice with us. Worship Christ with us today. And let's take advantage of the opportunities we have to reach out to others with the gospel and let them know that there is hope. Let them know that death has been defeated, that Christ gives life to those who believe. Last week, we spent a long time just looking at the darkness that surrounded the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to pick up today and see some truths about how the disciples were so discouraged, how they were so heartbroken. We're going to look at that, but then we're going to see the great truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that death has been defeated. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be in fear. We can have hope and comfort and peace. And life can be a life of rejoicing because of who Christ is and what he's done for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8, look at that with me as we get started today. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again, today we rejoice in our risen Savior. We rejoice that death has been defeated. We thank you, God, that you have taken away the sting of death and the power of sin in our Savior, Jesus Christ, in his full atonement when he died on the cross. And we rejoice today in the hope and joy and comfort and peace that only you can give. I pray that you would give comfort to the hearts of all who hear your word today. I pray that you would help me, for I'm nothing without you. And God, I pray that we can go away from this time together, changed by your word and empowered by your spirit to live for you in a greater way. Lord, we thank you for your resurrection and we long for your return, and help us to be faithful until that day comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look here in 1 John chapter 2, the commandment that is given to love one another. And this commandment is true in him because he loved us. As a matter of fact, we only love him because he first loved us. And because he shed his love abroad in our hearts by his spirit, that true commandment is true in him and it's in us. But how is that possible? It's possible only because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now, I want to take this and apply it to the resurrection of Jesus today, but I want you to understand in the context, the darkness applies to so many things. There was the darkness of sin that Jesus came to conquer. And when he came as a light, the true light to shine unto the whole world, not to the Jews only, but a light shined unto the Gentiles as well. There was the darkness of those who had trusted in their works, trusted in their religion, trusted in keeping the law in order to save them. And that darkness was past because Jesus came and he fulfilled all the promises of the law, all the righteous requirements of God's law. Jesus Christ fulfilled. The darkness is past. True light now shines. Now, we looked last week and saw that when Jesus died on the cross, there was darkness that covered the whole land. There was darkness that surrounded. Evil had a triumphant day, it seemed, when Jesus died, when Christ died. It seemed as Satan has won. It seemed the enemies of God had won. But we know better. We know that 3 days and three nights later, Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and Jesus conquered death and hell and the grave. And we look at Scripture, we see that God divided from the very beginning. God divided the light from the darkness. And we saw the darkness that surrounded his death. I just want to remind you, seeing the blackness and darkness of that day is necessary for us to appreciate how glorious the light of his resurrection is. Christ was dead. The one who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, caused the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, the lame to leap. The one who spoke with grace and authority. One who never spake, no other man ever spake like this man did. The one who raised the dead to life again was now dead himself. They would wrap his body in a fine linen cloth, and they would lay him in a tomb where never a man laid. They would roll a great stone and seal the door. The Roman guards would provide security. For 3 days and three nights, he would lay in the tomb. The disciples of Jesus were troubled. They were afraid. No doubt they were confused. They were discouraged, defeated, and they were full of disbelief. And I wonder how many Christians in America and around the world today are afraid. How many are discouraged? How many of us are discouraged or defeated or full of disbelief? But I want to tell you today that we don't have to be afraid. We should not be discouraged, but we should have courage. We are not defeated because Christ has given us victory, and we can rejoice in him today. The disciples were discouraged. Look at it. They were discouraged. They were overcome with sadness and grief. Their master, their Lord, and their friend was dead. They felt alone. They felt afraid. They didn't understand his promise to rise again. And they dared not hope that he would live again. They were afraid to even hope. They were hiding in fear. When Jesus had instructed them to wait in anticipation, they hid in fear. Notice how afraid they were. We go back before Jesus even died, Matthew 26, verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They had forsaken the Lord. They had ran away from his persecution. In Matthew 26, 74, we remember the denial of Peter. He began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. The disciples forsook Jesus. Jesus was denied by Peter. We go down to Luke chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. And there followed him a great company of people and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." So the disciples, first of all, were afraid. They were filled with fear. Now, I don't know if you've ever really been afraid before. There have been some times in my life that I put myself in bad situations and had to be afraid. Afraid for my very life even sometimes. And it's an overwhelming thing to be afraid. So many people in America today are terrified. So many people around the world are terrified. Christians are afraid today. I don't want to tell you, the disciples were afraid. They saw Jesus arrested. They saw him beaten. They saw him crucified, and their hearts were filled with fear. Jesus had warned them that this was coming, and he told them in the warning, don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and yet they were afraid. I want to tell you today that you and I, we tend to be afraid. We tend to let our circumstances overwhelm us, and we forget about the promises of Jesus. We forget about the word, and we allow ourselves to be afraid. But today, notice how afraid they were. They were so afraid they ran away from Jesus. They were so afraid they cursed and denied Jesus. They were so afraid they were hiding. Not only were they afraid, they were brokenhearted. Luke chapter 23, verse 27, we read that those women followed. They bewailed and lamented him. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been so brokenhearted that you, it could be said of you that you bewailed and lamented, but I have. And I have seen people that I love overcome with grief. I want you to get the picture in your mind. Jesus has been beaten, he's been mocked, he's been spit upon, they've ripped the beard from his face, they've beaten him over and over and over again, they've scourged him. They put his own clothes on him and compel him to carry his cross. And as he's stumbling on his way out up to Golgotha, he falls under the weight of the cross. No doubt they get someone else to carry it. But I want you to get this. He's being followed by those who are bewailing him. Those women who loved him, they followed him and they bewailed him and they lamented him. And I just want you to get the picture in your mind, because I know for me, funerals are a hard time for me because I'm kind of a crybaby and it's hard for me to hold it all together. The hardest thing for me is when I see the family break down. When I see them overcome with grief, it breaks my heart. My heart breaks with theirs. And so I want you to get this picture, because those who love Jesus followed Jesus and they were bewailing him. Not only were they afraid, but they were absolutely brokenhearted. They were sorrowful. We go in Matthew 27, verse 59. After Jesus cries out with a loud voice, he gives up the ghost. They come to make sure that he's dead. You remember, they run the spear into his heart, and the blood and water flows out. Jesus' body is claimed by Joseph of Arimathea. And in Matthew 27, 59, when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Friends, I want you to just get the picture in your mind. They had followed Jesus wailing and lamenting. They had seen him die. They heard him speak from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They had heard him cry out, "I thirst." They had heard him give John charge over his mother to watch over her. They heard him cry out, "It is finished." And now Joseph takes Jesus' body. And he wraps him up in that clean linen cloth. And I want you to imagine our Savior in his lifeless body. You can't help but be reminded of Jesus when he was born, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. But I just want you to get it, friends. The Savior who had healed the sick, those feet who had walked, those feet that had been washed with tears and hair, were now cold and lifeless. Those hands who had embraced those children, those hands who had healed the sick, that mouth who had spoken words like no one had ever heard before, that body was lifeless. I can't imagine the grief that Joseph felt as he wrapped up Jesus' body. And I want you to get the despair that they have. I want you to understand how painful it was to see Jesus in his lifeless body. In Luke 23:55, it says, "The women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." I want you to see these women that followed bewailing Jesus. Now they turn to the only thing they can do. Jesus didn't get to be anointed properly because they were in a hurry to get him off of the cross and into the tomb because of the high Sabbath day. And so they were working to prepare spices so that they could come back after the Sabbath so that it could anoint his body properly. But I want you to get this. They weren't expecting him to rise again. They weren't looking for him to conquer death in the grave. They were just looking to do what they could do. Jesus was dead, their Messiah was dead, their master was dead, their teacher was dead, their rabbi was dead, and now they could do nothing but try to take care of his lifeless body. In Luke chapter 24, verse 17, we pick up with two disciples on the way to Emmaus. Now, before this happens, Jesus has already appeared to Mary in the garden. Jesus has already appeared to the other women also. And now he finds two disciples and he hides his identity from them. Their eyes were holden so they wouldn't know that it was Jesus. And he sees them walking and he draws near to him and he says unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad?" The disciples were afraid, they were brokenhearted, and they were sorrowful. Anybody could see those disciples as they walked and they talked and they had a conversation about everything that had been going on. Their countenance was fallen. They were brokenhearted. They were sad. You can see it sometimes in people, can't you? I mean, they walk in the room and you just know something's wrong. You know their hearts are broken. You know they're laden down with care. You know how troubled they are. He goes on in verse 19. "And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." I want you to notice these words in verse 21. "But we trusted," past tense, "that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were sad and they were discouraged and their hearts were filled with fear and unbelief. Jesus was dead. In John chapter 20, back up and pick up Mary Magdalene in the garden. She saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. And in verse 15, Jesus says unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Mary could do nothing but stand in the garden and cry. The disciples were discouraged. But can I hasten to my next point this morning? The disciples were discouraged, but death was defeated. You see, the reality was they were afraid. They were brokenhearted. They were sorrowful. Just like we are so many times, we're afraid, we're brokenhearted, we're sorrowful, we're worried, we're scared, we don't have any peace in our hearts, we're filled with anxiety, we're filled with disbelief. But listen to me, death was defeated. They could have lived in anticipation and joy for those 3 days. Christ paid the price for our sin, but he would rise again. They felt alone, but they were not alone. They were afraid, but they really had no reason to fear. I am persuaded that though they had not understanding of the promises Jesus gave, he told them time and again that he was going to Jerusalem, that he would be crucified and he would rise again. I believe understanding was available to them if they would have believed. He would have given them understanding before. I'm persuaded understanding was available to them. They could have had hope against hope. They were told by Jesus to wait. That was Christ's command. They were told to wait, but God didn't tell them to hide. Jesus didn't instruct them to hide. They were to wait for the coming of the promise of the Holy Spirit, not to be hiding in fear, but anticipation. You see, they had hope, or they could have. And friend, today, in the midst of all of your fear and your brokenheartedness and your sorrow, there is hope, because I want you to get this. Whatever is overwhelming you, maybe it's the fear of COVID-19, or maybe it's the fear of financial loss, or maybe it's the fear of some other health problem, whatever it is, listen, Jesus Christ is the answer. The reality is our greatest enemy is death, and death has been defeated. The last enemy that God's going to take care of has already been defeated. Death has no power. Death has no sting. Death has no sway over those who trust in Jesus, because he conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And they didn't have to live in fear those 3 days. In the in-between time, between his burial and between his resurrection, between the time that he was sealed in the tomb and the time they saw him alive, they didn't have to be afraid. They didn't have to be sorrowful. They didn't have to be brokenhearted. Of course they were sad that Jesus died. Of course they were sad for all that he had gone through. And certainly it's heartbreaking for us to consider what our Savior endured. But friend, we don't have to live with that hope. And they didn't have to either. Death had been defeated. Death had been defeated. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." In the middle of our fear, God sends the messenger to say, "Don't be afraid." Darkness had covered the earth. Certainly darkness had covered their hearts. But now the messenger of God comes, and he is like lightning. His raiment is as white as snow. He is brighter than the sun, and he comes with light and truth. And that's exactly what we have from God's word today. We have the light of Jesus Christ. We have the truth of the Word of God. We have the message of the risen Savior that we can see the tomb is still empty today and we don't have to be afraid. The message for us today is fear not ye. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in this life. Don't be afraid of the things that might come, because if your faith is in the risen Savior, you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Fear not. I want you to look at John chapter 20, verse 6. John chapter 20, verse 6 says, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." He saw and he believed. The message today, because death is defeated, you don't have to be afraid. You simply have to believe. Believe. You know, a lot of people scoff that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some very wise people have pointed out that if you die and rose again, that's not scientifically possible. And to that I say, true. It's not scientifically possible. But nothing is impossible with God. Jesus Christ laid down his life and then he took his life up again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most attested to fact in history. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the grave than there is evidence that George Washington ever existed. I'm telling you today that John and Peter went into the sepulcher and they saw the empty tomb. They saw the grave clothes. They saw the napkin folded up and laying in a place by itself. And when they saw, they believed. And what I want to challenge you today, friend, is to look into the scriptures, to search out the scriptures. And when you search out the scriptures with an open heart and open mind, you will see Jesus. You'll see him from the first pages of Genesis all the way to the last amen of Revelation. You'll see Jesus, the one who would come and solve man's greatest problem, which is death. And why do we have death? Because we have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. We've all got death on us because we are all the children, the descendants of Adam. It's in our blood. And from the very beginning, God has made a way. He had a plan because Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Brother Brian pointed out this morning the song, "This is the day the Lord has made." You think about Easter Sunday. You think about the day. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, but we set aside a day to commemorate his resurrection every year. You think about that this is the day the Lord has made. God made the day for Jesus to die. He made the day for Jesus to rise again. And we ought to rejoice today that God made a way from the very beginning for us to have life. You don't have to be afraid, but you do have to believe. You must believe. We back up again a little bit in John chapter 20 and verse 14. John chapter 20 and verse 14, when Mary Magdalene came back to the garden again, she's there alone, and she sees the angels, and she's standing in the garden weeping, and Jesus appears again. He hides himself from her. She doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. She's upset. He says, "What's wrong with you?" And she says, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where he is." And in verse 14, it says, "When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou, and what seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Then Jesus has to say, "Don't touch me. I haven't ascended yet." When you see the risen Savior, your first response can only be to worship him. I believe with all my heart that Mary wanted to fall at the feet of Jesus, to embrace his feet, to worship him. You don't have to be afraid. You have to believe. And when you believe, it'll lead you to a heart of worship. all of this is only possible when God opens our understanding. I want you to look to Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Luke 24, 25 says, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus wants us to have an understanding. He wants us to come to a place of faith, and that has to come from an understanding of God's word. When we believe and we understand and God takes away our fear, it brings us to a place where we can proclaim God's truth. In Luke 24 and verse 31, it says, "And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." Listen, when you see the risen Savior, when you understand that he's alive and you believe in him and he gives you faith and takes away your fear and he begins to open your understanding from his word, all you can do is open your mouth and tell others. You got to run and tell anybody you can, the Lord is risen indeed. Now listen, this wasn't an evangelistic mission. They were going to tell other people in the church. And you know what? When you see somebody who's discouraged, when you see somebody who's struggling with their faith, when you see somebody's down or upset or worried or full of anxiety, what do we need to do? We need to go to them and say, listen, the Lord is risen indeed. There's hope, there's life, there's reason to have hope and faith, and you don't have to be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. But God's peace can overcome all of those things when we know that the Lord is risen indeed. So it caused them to go and proclaim. And Jesus wants to give you peace today. When he appeared to the church in the upper room, Luke 24, 36, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye any meat?" They yet believed not for joy. Jesus appeared to them out of nowhere. He appears in that closed room, and they are so overjoyed they can't even believe it. They're astonished. In verse 44, he goes on and says to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Jesus opened their understanding so that they would have peace in their hearts. Now, 8 days later, the next Sunday, the disciples gathered together again. Now, Thomas wasn't with them the first night, but he was with them this time. And you remember Thomas had said he wouldn't believe unless he put his hands on the scars and Jesus' hands and feet. He just wouldn't believe. But we read in John 20 and verse 27, "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God." Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I can touch him." And friends, I don't know what you believe, but I believe this. I don't think Thomas ever got near touching Jesus. I think he fell down right where he was at and cried out, "My Lord and my God." And I want you to look at what Jesus says in verse 29. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I've never seen Jesus with these physical eyes, but I have seen him in the pages of Scripture. I have seen him by faith that he gives through his Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand today that when you look into the Word of God, you see the darkness that surrounded his death. I want you to see the glorious light that surrounded his resurrection, because it didn't end there. Jesus would show himself to seven of the other disciples at Galilee, and they would eat together, eat fish together there. Jesus had shown himself to Simon Peter. He would go on and show himself to over 500 of the disciples at one time. Time and time again, Jesus showed himself alive, the scripture says, by many infallible proofs. He proved that he conquered death and the grave. And I want to tell you today that you need to look into the scriptures and see Jesus. Understand the darkness is now past. The darkness of the power of sin, the darkness of the powerlessness of good works and religion, the darkness is past. The darkness of the mystery of Christ in his church, the darkness of our separation from God, the darkness of the Gentiles without the oracles of God, without God himself and without hope in the world, that darkness is now past because the true light shines. Sin has lost its sting. The emptiness, the vanity of works, of the works of the law are made manifest. You cannot be saved by being good. We are not saved by works of the law, but by the mercy of God and the grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. True light now shines. The mystery is revealed in Christ in his church. The veil has been torn from top to bottom. The middle wall of partition between us has been destroyed. The word has been given to all mankind. God is with us. Christ has given us light. He has given us life. He has given us hope. Last week, I read you part of the song that Philip Brooks had written. And I want to read you all of that song this morning, and please listen to me. Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. While the patient earth lies waking, till the morning shall be breaking, shuddering neath the burden dread of her master, cold and dead. Hark, she hears the angels say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. And when the sunrise smites the mountains, pouring light from heavenly fountains, then the earth blooms out to greet once again the blessed feet, and her countless voices say, Christ has risen on Easter Day. Up and down our lives obedient, walk, dear Christ, with footsteps radiant, till those garden lives shall be fair with duties done for thee, and our thankful spirits say, Christ arose on Easter Day. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. I want to plead with you today, dear friend, if you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that right now, this morning, you would bow your heart before God. You would humble yourself before him. That you would understand that you are a sinner, that the wrath of God abides on you. You would understand and believe today that Jesus Christ paid the debt for your sin and the sin of the whole world. And if you will turn from your sin to God, you will turn from your self-righteousness to God, you'll turn from your religion to God, turn from everything else to God, and put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. You can repent, turn from your sin to God, your unbelief to God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. I pray that right now you would just pray from your heart in your own words and ask God to forgive you. Ask him to be your Savior. And if you will do that, he will give you everlasting life. Death has been defeated. Christ has given us light and life. And for all who are saved, I pray that you will rejoice with me today. Fear doesn't have to overcome us. We can have faith in Christ. Trust in him, and he will give you peace. Search the scriptures. He will give you understanding, and that will give you peace. You don't have to be afraid. You are not alone. If you are a child of God, his spirit is with you forever. He is with you forever. I pray that this message today would give you comfort and strength in your hearts. and life. Christ died, yea, rather, he is risen again. And I pray you'll put your faith in him. I pray that you'll rejoice in him. And I pray by the grace of God, we can all be witnesses for him today and every day. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for the privilege that we have to worship you, that you've given us your word so that we can know you, that you've given us your spirit so that we can understand the truth. Father, I pray that you would reveal your truth to the hearts of all who hear today. I pray for those who are unsaved that they'll repent and believe the gospel, cry out to you and be born again even now, Lord. For those who are saved, Lord, help us to follow you in obedience to your word, that the saved would follow you in baptism and serve you in the local church, that we as a body of believers would work together to bring you glory and to further your kingdom. Father, I pray that you'll help us to not be overcome with fear, but to trust in you, to see your truth and believe, and by your grace to live for you, to go and proclaim to everyone, the Lord is risen indeed. We pray you'll bless and help in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for gathering today with us online. We're going to be right back here this evening at 6 o'clock as we look into another portion of Scripture, continue to celebrate our Savior's resurrection. I'm thankful for the opportunity to continue to have our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services as we want to begin our day worshiping the Lord. We want to end our day worshiping the Lord and serving Him. So I hope you'll join back with us tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day with your family. Stay healthy, stay safe, and let's be witnesses for the Lord in every way we possibly can.